welcome him up.
I've got this mic. Yeah. It's good to be here. It's a while since I've been in this room and the building. It's nicely completed by the looks of it. Jim tells me there's a little bit of carpet that needs doing. Always something, he says. But no, but it's great to be here and good to be on a journey with you. And so we've got a couple of very important things to do. One is a transition of senior leadership from Richard to Jim, and also to bring John into eldership. So we're actually doing a bit of change and a bit of strengthening as you continue your journey together. It's interesting, when you kind of think of what to say, it's not going to be a long talk this morning because we're going to spend most of our time actually praying for these guys. So, but you kind of think, what passage do you, would you kind of preach on for a transition? I mean, the great one in the Old Testament was said by Joshua, Moses is dead. Okay. Which is a brilliant transition, but not totally appropriate. Actually, with Richard's kind of, you know, he's hobbles a little bit because he's got a bad foot. We try and get him to walk our dogs, but it's not very easy. So in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, says this: as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, that's Elijah and Elisha, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. At least a chariot might be helpful, but maybe not heaven at this point in time. So fundamentally, when you look at transition, some of the big ones in the Old Testament are a little bit final, aren't they? And this is definitely not final. This is definitely a work in progress where we're going to see some adjustments made. And we're going to see Jim come on and to lead the team, lead the church, and Richard to carry on in the team, carry on the staff, and also to do what he's been doing brilliantly, as well as the church here, serving many churches, including ours, in Manchester. So I thought, if we can't use some of those Old Testament, let's just look at one that's not even a transition one. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says this: this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and deacons. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So, Paul is addressing God's holy people, or if you read it in the NIV, all the saints. And what a great start to a letter that he's addressing people as they are in the church, born again, pure and holy saints of the Most High God. Some people are recognized over generations as saints. Sometimes it's after they've died, and sometimes it's like hundreds of years later. But actually, God recognizes each one of us who's born again, who sees Jesus Christ as their Savior, as saints of the Most High God, holy ones. That is a remarkable thing, isn't it? Because when you came here this morning, I wonder how many of you felt perfect holy. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in life, and there's a lot of things that can make you feel dirty and unclean and disqualified. But Paul starts this brilliant letter to his friends in Philippi, addressing them as God sees them, as God has made them, pure and holy. And in Corinthians, he says this. He said he basically says how they managed to get holy. And it says this, for God, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin. For Christ was made an offering, the one who was perfect, the one who, a centurion looking at him dying on the cross, basically understood it, that this was a perfect one. This was someone worth worshipping. That was the guy who killed him. Began to have revelation. There was a guy on one side of him being crucified with him. Two thieves, one on either side. And one of those thieves turned to Jesus and understood that he didn't deserve to die. He even said it as they were hanging in agony on the cross. He's having this conversation. I deserve this. I'm a criminal. You don't deserve it. And Jesus said to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will journey with me. And the only way that thief could journey with him was being pure and holy. He understood, whether he reasoned it, but he understood in his heart that this perfect one was dying for his imperfection. That he could be with Jesus in paradise. That's why we're saints. Totally. Our sin and our grime and our unworthiness is crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
Crucified with Christ. You know, at the end of my talk and when we've done a few of the introductions, I'm going to give an opportunity. If you think, man, I would like to be a saint, but I am so far from being a saint. You don't know what goes on in my head. You don't know what goes on in my life. You don't know what I think. I would love to be a saint. Well, I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm giving you a little bit of forewarning, just to give you a little bit of an opportunity to join the saints who Paul is addressing here. So, says to all the saints, to God's holy people, or God's saints in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and the deacons. And it's not often that he kind of pulls out kind of special mention to some people. So he's made a general introduction, and then he's basically saying to the elders and to the deacons. And very appropriately, we're going to concentrate this morning on church leadership, because there's a church leadership transition. And so I want to kind of introduce this, we're going to do now. And the first thing, basically, is we're going to thank Rich and Debbie. And I say, it's not a final thanks. There's going to be many years of thanks, okay? But it is appropriate to mark occasions, yes. Okay? And, you know, we mark birthdays, don't we? Or some of us do anyway. Some of us don't like to, but it's just we're marking periods of time. And we're marking occasions. Some of you mark your wedding anniversaries. Some of you are better at it than others. I won't ask you to. I brought my wife deliberately, you realise, so that there's no kind of repercussions. But what I'm trying to say is it's appropriate to mark occasions. And yes. I just want to read verse 3. And it says this, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. And wherever I pray, I make my requests for, with all joy for you. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And when we think of Richard and Debbie, it's with all joy. They've been partners not only with a lot of you, for some of you for quite a few years, but also in the movement and New Frontiers. Well, Rich and Debbie were one of the very first people, actually, as part of what is now a movement in 70 nations. If you were born in, or brought up, they weren't born in, but if you had a ministry in Sussex, basically, you had an opportunity to be the first people into the movement. And so Rich and Debbie have been around New Frontiers for a long time. And so they've been partners with many people as well as the church here. And I've been over just over 20 years, is that right? 23 years. Kemsey Baptist Church, I think, was the place that... who was from Kemsey Baptist Church? Okay, all right. So there's some good faithful people here. And it is with all joy and it's with all appreciation that us as a movement of New Frontiers, and I know you as a church really want to say thank you to Richard and Debbie. And I say, it is a journey of thanks, so it's not all over. It's not like Moses, but it is very appropriate that we respond and give them our appreciation and our love. And at the end, we're going to have a chance to pray for them, okay? And those who've got words to bring to them, we're going to, just to give you a heads up, we're going to have 3 grander groups to pray so that a lot more of us can have a chance to pray, okay? Otherwise, we'll be here till the dinner's gone cold. But what I would love to do is I would love us to stand. Rich and Debbie, can you come out here? Unless, come. You can say, you're not going to be out here long, so you're okay. And I say, we're going to have chance to pray for these dear people, but I want to give them a massive round of applause and appreciation for all that they've done for you as a group of people, for all they've done for the movement and many others actually around the world. So can we do this? Let's just say... Stay standing. I'm just going to pray for them now. But I say, many of you will have an opportunity in a little bit, okay? So, Lord, I want to thank you for Richard and Debbie. I want to thank you, Lord God, for their family. I want to thank you for their home. I want to thank you for all they've meant to us here at Hope and all that they've meant around, Lord God, around the world. I thank you for people like Emmanuel, Lord God, down in Uganda and so many others who would just love to be here to give their applause. And Lord God, we want to say, we pray with all joy for their partnership in the gospel and for all that they've done. And we want to pray, would you bless them? I want to pray for Richard's foot. Would you heal it, Lord God? Pray for healing even today. God, we love them. And we want you to bless them richly. Yeah. Amen. Come on, let's give them another round of applause. Right, you can go and sit down now. You were sitting, I understand. Good, yes. So, Jim and Josephine. They've been with you a long time as well. In fact, Jim tells me he was here before Richard.
He was.
And you were. He didn't say that. So, I mean, it's a reason unusual to have people that have been from a good time actually together and actually still working together, which, there's a lot of encouragement to actually have an in-house transition. And, again, I've done a few transitions and it's not always the case for many reasons, but to have Jim now and Josephine stepping up, Jim stepping up to leave the congregation is a great, great thing. And it's interesting that I really got to know Jim more because of his work with the poor, and which he is renowned, and you know that anyway, but fundamentally has a massive, massive significance, not just as a movement, but actually numbers of movements across the nation, because a lot of people do work with the poor, but it's like a project. Do you know, it's like, and so some big churches will do some great work with the poor, but they can't find a way of building a congregation. And one of Jim's massive strengths, which is why people come and ask him, is, it's a 6 o'clock service, isn't it? The 6 o'clock service, but also the intentionality to build a church community along with serving and helping some of the most needy people in the area. That is not very usual in our nation. And so, that's how I got to know Jim. And we basically run one or two kind of meetings in Worcester here just to serve other churches. Jim's been doing that far more than me. But, when I think of this building, last time I was here, Jim was actually on his knees putting some piping in. I mean, so he's just an amazing guy, brilliant preacher, great evangelist, great church leader, but, brings lots to what you're doing here. And I do believe that for the next season that you're in, actually, you'll bring great vision and leadership. And actually, to have a good eldership team, with Richard still in it, it's a lot of security, a lot of stability. And I'm just saying little things, them as a couple, even better than I do, because they've been around a long time. So we're going to pray for Jim to take on the senior leadership of the church here. And I want you two to come up. Can we do that? And again, I say we're going to have opportunity at the end to pray and prophesy over these people. But, we've said a great thank you to these guys. I would love us. Can we stand? And because these are not newbies, okay? These are people that have served you, hardworkingly served you and led you. And I would love you to say thank you for all that they have done and meant to you. Can we do that? I'm going to pray, and then I say we're going to have a chance. Lord, I do want to thank you for Jim. I want to bless you for his integrity. I want to bless you for his passion. I want to bless you for his gift of leadership. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the encounter camp that he's pioneered, Lord God. I want to thank you for his faithful service in the church here, Lord God, in preaching, in leading, in the works of service, Lord God. Lord God, in his just general ability just to work hard and diligently. And I want to pray, would you anoint him, Lord God, for this next season? Lord God, I want to pray for Josephine as well. I want to thank you for her. Lord, bless you for her gifts. Thank you, such an integral part of the church here and all that she brings. God, I want to pray. God, I want to pray for an anointing on them. Lord, I want to pray. God, would you anoint them for this next phase? I want to pray, Lord God, Lord, that these hands would see the sick healed. Lord, I want to pray for these lips would see people saved, Lord God, that people will be delivered from evil, Lord God. And God, that there'll be massive deliverance. And I pray for Josephine. I want to thank you for her. I want to pray for this next season. I want to pray, Lord God, that your yoke will be easy. I want to pray for it, God. I want to pray for real grace for both of them in this next season of their lives. I thank you. God, they're a testimony to perseverance, to love, to kindness, to care, to diligence, to leadership. And I want to pray, God, would you anoint them? Would you anoint them, Lord God? Lord, I pray for it in Jesus' name. God, I pray for your grace to be upon them now. Oh. Jesus, I wasn't going to do this. Let's all pray out together. Can we do this? Let's just pray for God's blessing on them. Just go on, just lift your voices. Lord God, Lord, we do pray for this. Lord God, we pray. God, we pray for you would powerfully come upon them, Lord God. Lord, I want to pray for your anointing on them, Lord God. Lord God, I want to pray, God, Lord, for an impartation of your spirit. Lord, I want to pray for it now. God, for grace. Grace, God. Growth and grace, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Okay, let's sit down. Jim told me to look at the clock, but you know what? I don't understand. What time? Could someone tell me what time that clock says? I mean, you can't. 20, is that right? 20 past. Am I? I'm getting old, but that is. Okay. So, little by little, we're moving through this. So, John and Kerry. So. It's not usual that you do a transition and bring somebody into eldership at the same time. But this is appropriate and good. And actually, strengthening the team is really important. And getting a little bit more younger, although you guys, you know. We've just appointed, I think, a 24-year-old to lead a site. So, you know, you've got room to get the next one in as well. But but it is a real joy to actually bring John into eldership. He's been part of the eldership team for a while here and has led your second congregation. I know when you went into two congregations, for some of you, it was a bit of a strain and it wasn't the thing that you wanted to do because you like being together. You have been brought up as a family church. And so actually to make the family into two, for some of you, I know, wasn't easy. We have now six, I think, or seven sites. I've lost count. So, I understand sometimes the, it's not easy because you don't see people that you used to see regularly. But one of the big benefits is it gives opportunity for leadership growth. That's why we're bringing a 24-year-old to lead one of our sites, because we're running out of leaders and we just need to keep pulling people through. And we've got another two or three more to go. And so your second congregation has really given John and Kerry time and place to grow. And they've done a great job. So I guess I'm saying when you do, I know you've got a third one in the evening, when you get your fourth one, just saying. But they've done a great job, I understand. Good reports from what they're doing. And I've known John a few years now, and always wanting to learn, always wanting to ask. It's one of his strengths. And if you're willing to learn, that's the biggest thing. You know, if you want to ask questions, and I know he's done that with me, and I know he's done it with numbers of people. And so it's a real joy to really have you come in formally, officially, as part of the eldership team. So can you two come up? Yeah. Well, you know, we've actually applauded the other guys. I wasn't going to do this, but you know what? It just seems totally inappropriate. So let's stand. Because they have served brilliantly. I mean, Kerry's been around. Yeah. How old were you when you came to the church?
Nearly 14,
I think. All right, okay, so a long time. I'm joking, I'm teasing. But no, honestly, to make a congregation work is not an easy thing. And so they've done a great job, as well as all the other things that especially Kerry has been doing as part of the family here. So can we just give them a really appreciative round of applause? Take a seat. Wow. So, you realise you're not going to get a preach after this. So just so anybody who thinks, I'll do a few words, but actually it's a little few words. Because the whole morning is about the transition and the strengthening of what we're doing. And I'm just here to facilitate that happening and to honour. And I would like to pray for you guys. And when I became an elder, this is nothing to do with what is going up to you, but I remember Terry Virgo coming. It was one of the first kind of eldership appointments in that day. And I remember him, there was a load of prophetic words about me being a pioneer. And normally, you know, when we're praying in a shepherd, we're praying in a leader, we're praying in a church leader. And so all these prophetic words was a pioneer. And Terry got up, I remember him saying, he said, "This is strange." He said, I've been thinking about my normal preach one of his few normal preachers on eldership from Timothy. And those are, he said, "I felt God speak to me this morning that I need to preach on Joshua." And it was kind of, and what I'm trying to say is, there was a remarkable impartation in my 20s. I've planted, I don't know, 20 churches, I don't know, something like that. And helped numbers. All I'm trying to say is, there's moments. That's why Paul could say to Timothy, when the elders laid on their hands on you, you know, remember it.
Yeah.
This is a remarkable time of an anointing, and I'm using my own personal story because I'm believing God wants to speak to you, and I think when people praying for you, you'll get words over you, and we're going to pray for an impartation of the Spirit of God on you two, on your leadership, because although we have you as the elder, boy, this congregation values both of you, I can assure you, and you're just a dear couple. So I'd like us to stand again. Sorry, this is a bit up and down. I'm making it up as we're going along, you realise. I'd like us to stretch out our hands, and I'd like us to pray together for an anointing of God. Can we do that on this? So just pray where you are. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to anoint. Lord God, we just want to thank you for John and Kerry. We want to thank you, Lord God. We want to thank you. We want to bless you for them. Lord God, I pray as we lay hands on them now, I pray for your anointing to rest upon them. I pray, Lord God, for your grace. I pray, Lord God, for this next season, there will be an increase of an anointing, an increase of authority. Lord God, I pray for an increase of wisdom. God, I pray, Lord God, I want to pray for the gift of leadership to grow. God, I pray for it. I pray for it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord God. Lord, we want to thank you and bless you for John and Kerry. We want to pray now, let your anointing fall on them, Lord God. We pray, would you give them the gift of wisdom, Lord, so they can manage their time, can manage their family, can manage the church. God, I pray, would you anoint them with power from on high? I want to pray, Lord God, would you increase them?
Yes.
Lord God, would you give them more breadth? God, I pray, Lord God, I pray from this day forward, they would see an unction in their speaking, an authority. I pray for John as he serves in the eldership. God, give him wisdom, give him words, Lord God, give him, God, grace. And I pray, God, would you increase him in Jesus' name. As we set them apart to serve, Lord God, the church here. And all the congregation said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stay there. Can the elders and can all of you come out here? Do you mind? Yeah, couples, come on. Okay. Right, we're all going to pray my favourite prayer. I've prayed this over so many people. I've prayed at weddings, I pray at loads of things. We're not wedding now, obviously. But it's a prayer that we find in Numbers. The Lord bless you, Lord keep you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a line, and then we're going to pray it together. Okay? And then you're going to raise your hands and we're going to pray a church blessing over our leaders. Can we do that? So let's put our hands out and then I'll do a line and then you follow me again. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you.
The Lord keep you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you.
And the Lord give you his peace.
And the Lord give you his peace.
And may the Lord go with you now and forevermore. And may the Lord go with you and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's say thank you to all our elders now. Take a seat. Thank you very much. Where's my... Okay. I think that clock says 5:30. Is that right? Yeah. That was a guess, by the way. Okay. So before we have a chance to pray with these dear people, just want to read verse 6. And it says this. Paul says this to the saints, the leaders at Philippi. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work and until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That's a confident statement, isn't it? I am confident of this. And you see, Paul was there at the start of the church at Philippi. He was there when God had told him to go to Macedonia with a remarkable vision. And he was there walking around the city, figuring out, where do I start? I've done that numbers of times. You know, how do we get traction? No synagogue in Philippi, which would be his normal kind of first port of call. In the end, he goes down to a river, and there he finds some God-fearers. Some ladies, because there's not enough for a synagogue, so they're there meeting in, next to the river. And it says this in Acts 16, 13. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. So he's expecting to find some God-fearers who were there meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. And she listened to us, and the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. You see, he was there, and he knew this, that God had started a work in her life. That it wasn't Paul's eloquent teaching or eloquent words, but God, the Lord, had opened Lydia's heart. You see, he knew that the start of the church in Philippi was a God thing. God had given him a dream, a vision, to go to Macedonia. Philippi was one of the first cities that he went to. And there, one of the first people, Lydia, responding to the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. And Paul says this, the Lord opened her heart. And that's why when he's writing to the Philippians later, he could say this, God who began a good work in you. Because it was God who opened their hearts. The Philippian jailer, one of the next people who was saved. It was a miracle. This little church was a church of miracles. A church where God had started a good work in people. Yeah. And Paul was confident this, that the sovereign Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, that if he started a good work, then he was able and wanted to finish that good work. I'm confident of this. And it's with that confidence that we go forward. It's that confidence we make adjustments to leadership. It's that confidence that we go into the next phase of the church's life and the next phase of three couples here, ministries, changing, affirming. And I love when Paul said, was to say this, that he who began a good work will bring it to completion. And I want to really encourage us to hold fast into God's ability to complete what he started. When I went to Manchester, I felt God speak to me, plant 20 churches. I'd already planted two, and they weren't very good. One has closed down, and I always say the other one probably, well, it's actually going quite well now, but as I'm on the tape. But the reality was, when I looked at myself, I hadn't done very well. Do you know? But I knew this, God had called me at my eldership appointment. What God had begun, he would complete. And so 14 churches later, and I'm going round a park in COVID time, and I'm praying, God, you said, I'm old, and I might die, and I've got 6 more to go. God, if you said it, I need to get 6 more churches planted. Went to my eldership team, and it was in COVID. I mean, can we start 6 more? they just liked, I mean, it didn't go down particularly with joy and faith, because it's survival. It won't, you know. So I thought, okay, I won't bend their ear anymore. I'll just pray. And I prayed, and then a girl in her early 20s rang me. She said, Colin, it's one of our congregations, she was a student, just graduated, and she said, Colin, I'm a Spanish speaker. I keep going around one of the parks, so loads of people speaking Spanish. Could I start a Spanish-speaking site? I said, Rosie, not only can you start it, you're an answer to prayer. And then a young guy, medic, just trained. I'd asked him to help in one of our sites, and he turned me down. And he rang me, he said, Colin, I know I said no to you. He said, but I've just bought a house in Reddish. What about me starting a site in Reddish? You know, that's been our fastest growing site. See more people say. And then another couple after COVID, ring Tim Simmons, who now leads the church. So we're living in London. We feel God's calling us back to Manchester. We'd like to start church, but we want to go in a multi-site. Would there be any chance, because they originated from Manchester, they knew what we were doing, would there be any chance of starting in a site? I'm thinking three more to go. I'm praying on the way down here for the next three. Do you understand what God started, even if you don't think you're doing very well, and even if you think, you know, it's been a little bit kind of bad start or not a good, easy start. Confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, the God who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. I'm saying this personal testimony just for encouragement. Do you understand? Because that's what I'm here for. Okay, so just before we pray, I said at the beginning, I want to give an opportunity. You see, to have a transition that's good, that's healthy, that is a leader that's willingly, before he needs to, handing over to someone who's been faithfully serving for years. You know, that's a God thing. What we see in the world is people clinging to power.
Yeah.
Clinging to roles. See, Paul said this about our Jesus Christ. He didn't cling to be with God, but humbled himself. Humbled himself, became like you and me, even to death on a cross, where he had grace for a convicted criminal. And in his moment of greatest agony, said, join me, become a saint. Join me in paradise. I want to give you the opportunity to, if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you feel like today, I would love to make that a day to remember. Let's just close our eyes. I'm going to ask you to do one thing, that's all. And that's why, while people are with eyes closed, if you today want to say, yes, Jesus, I want to become a saint. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be made new. I want to join this great company of holy people, made holy by God's sacrifice on a cross. And just put your hand up now. I'm going to give you a few moments just to respond. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray now that you would powerfully come. I want to thank you for new birth. I want to thank you, Lord God, for what you've done in Christ for us. And so, God, we welcome those who want to give their life to you as part of your church, we say, Jesus, we thank you and bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Wow. Have they got one song? Okay, could you one song? Okay. We're going to do a bit of chaos here, and we're going to do it singing. Okay? And so, bear with me. We've got about 20 minutes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask John and Kerry if you would go near to the back. And I would like Richard and Debbie to go somewhere in the kind of middle left. And then Jim and Josephine to come at the front here. And those going to get there. And then I'd like you to get around them, okay? And so that none of them feel like they're not favourites, just have a look how many people are going. And have sympathy on the ones that don't have... No, I'm joking. But you know what it's like, don't you? And some of you would like to pray for all of them. So you can just move around, do you understand? So that's not... So please... And we've got about 15, 20 minutes, and then John is going to bring it to a close, because then he's got some notices which I am banned from even giving, because I'm incompetent for this bit of the organisation. Okay? And while we're doing that, we're going to sing. Okay? So as you can stand, and then we'll sing, and then start praying, and we'll just finish the song. Do you understand what I mean? And then we'll get on. So can you two, three couples, get into their places? And then come move around and you can sing as you move in. Okay. Well, you've got to move.
Sing that first verse together, 1,000 generations.
Okay, let's get back into our seats now, just as we're going to bring this to a time to end. If you've got a prayer or prophecy, then you can bring it at another time over lunch, maybe. So let's worship together. This is possible, get everyone back in seats.
Cry. Anyone put their hand up or still wants to respond to the glorious invitation of being a son or daughter? Just go and see Jim afterwards. Just don't want to lose the moment for you. And just want to say, been a great morning. Really appreciated letting me come and joining with you. I'm going to hand over to John now.
Thanks, Colin. Should we give Colin a round of applause? He's served us really well this morning. We'll just take your seats for a moment. Just a couple of practicalities. But before I do, just on behalf of the church and the eldership team, Rich and Debbie, just want to say thank you. You've been amazing, and it's been great to partner with you. And thank you for all that you've taught me and you've sown in the church. And Jim and Josephine, just to say we're with you. We're for you, and we're looking forward to the next adventure and whatever the next season looks like. And John and Kerry, go for it. And we love you, and we're with you, and the 1115ers are with you as well. So thank you. Just so there's a few practicalities. I don't know why I get given this job, because you know what I'm like with the old practicalities. But if we've got to grab now. I've got to step out. Anyway. If you've got kids, do please collect them on your way downstairs. Do say thank you to Forefront Theatre. They've served us really well this morning to release our kids' team. So if you get a chance, to just say thank you for them. So your kids on the first floor. Then we'll be heading down to the ground floor for a barbecue-type food-type thing. Good Soil are serving us there. So there will be a tray that's already made up. If you've got allergies, please do let the Good Soil team know that you've got an allergy, and they will sort you out. And then grab a tray. You can congregate outside. The sun is shining beautifully. Or you can mingle up on the first floor or in the cafe. So there's loads going on. Do stay around. It's a real celebration this morning. It's a great chance to be family together. There's plenty of time if you've still got words and things to give to any of the guys we've prayed for this morning. So do stay around. Do congregate together, and let's celebrate being a family together. So.